Okay, let's get into this. The world of work, I mean, it's just completely shifted, hasn't it?
Totally.
For so many people, that dream, it's maybe less about the big corner office now and more about, well, the freedom to work from pretty much anywhere.
Right. Ditching the commute, getting that flexibility back.
Exactly. But here's the big question, right? If you're starting completely cold, like Meg, you're in a totally different field right now, or just starting out, how do you actually build a remote career successfully from, you know, zero?
Yeah, it can feel like this huge, overwhelming thing. You see all these articles, these courses. Where do you even start? How do you sort through it all?
That's precisely it. And that's why today we're doing a deep dive into one very specific guide that tries to answer exactly that. It's called How to Build a Successful Remote Career from Scratch, a step-by-step guide. And it's from virtualmentorhub.com.
Okay.
So we're not trying to cover like everything about remote work today. Our mission here is really to pull out the key steps, the main insights from this source, and understand the specific path it recommends you take.
So kind of like getting the blueprint from this particular guide boiled down.
Yeah, exactly.
And its core idea, right from the start, is actually pretty encouraging. It basically says, yes, you can build that successful remote career, the one with freedom and flexibility.
Even with no experience.
Even with no prior remote experience, yeah. But, and this is the, you need the right strategy. You have to approach it strategically.
Okay, so freedom, flexibility, that's the goal. Where does this guide say you actually kick things off? Because honestly, I was half expecting it to say hit the job boards. But that's not step one, is it?
No, it starts much more fundamentally. Step one, according to this guide, is all about looking inward first. Mm-hmm. Identify your skills and interests.
Okay.
Before you even think about job titles or websites, you need to really assess what you're genuinely good at and, just as importantly, what you actually like doing.
Why is that combination skill and enjoyment, why is that so vital for remote work specifically? Couldn't you just, you know, power through something you're good at but maybe don't love?
Well, that's a really good point. This source really emphasizes it because remote jobs often need more self-direction, more internal motivation.
Right, no boss looking over your shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So staying focused, staying productive, it relies much more on your own personal drive. And if you're doing tasks that tap into your passions, using your core strengths, well, it's just naturally easier to stay engaged to perform well without someone constantly pushing you. It sort of links your own compass to your work.
That makes complete sense. And the guide gives some concrete examples too, which I found helpful. It mentions, like, if you're tech savvy, maybe remote IT support or web development could be a good path. Or if you're good with words, clear communication, structuring things, then freelance writing is another potential direction it highlights.
Right. It's about finding those abilities, those preferences you already have, and seeing how they could fit into a remote context.
Okay. So you've done that self-assessment. You have some idea of your direction. What's next?
Then comes the more practical step, figuring out where these kinds of opportunities actually live in the remote world.
Which leads us to step two. Research remote job opportunities. Okay, now we're getting to the job boards, kind of.
Sort of, yeah. The guide does mention specific platforms like Upwork, FlexJobs, and WeWork Remotely.
Yeah.
It points to those as good places to start browsing listings that are already focused on remote work.
But it doesn't just stop at go find a job, does it? There's another angle they suggest looking at.
Absolutely. The guide makes a point that you shouldn't just think about finding an employer. It brings up the idea of potentially starting your own remote business.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it gives examples like becoming a freelance virtual assistant.
Yeah.
Or maybe offering coaching services remotely. Or even building your own digital marketing agency. It's about realizing you can also create the opportunity yourself, not just apply for one.
Okay, so you've identified your potential path, employed or self-employed, and you know where to look. The next step feels very, well, very 21st century.
Yeah.
Essential now.
It really is. Step three in the guide is build your online presence. Because in the remote world, for many people, your digital footprint is your professional persona.
And they're specific about how to do that. They talk about creating a professional LinkedIn profile, making sure it really spells out your skills, your experiences, maybe even portfolio pieces.
Right. Even if those pieces come from, say, personal projects or roles that weren't strictly remote.
And they also emphasize having your own space online, like a website or a personal blog.
Exactly. The guide stresses the value of that. It's a place where you can show your work in more detail, share your thoughts, position yourself as someone who knows their stuff in your field.
That seems really tied to that phrase the source used, building a career on your terms.
Mm.
It's not just firing off resumes. It's like setting up your own digital shop window, isn't it?
Precisely. Having that intentional online presence, that central place where potential clients or employers can easily find you, learn about you, see your work, it just massively boosts your visibility and your credibility. You're controlling the story about what you offer. It's like putting up your sign in the digital marketplace.
Got it. Okay, so foundation, skills, interests, market research opportunities, building your shop front, online presence. What comes next in the blueprint?
The guide then shifts to the practicalities of actually doing the work remotely. Step 4, learn remote work tools.
The tech stuff, the digital water coolers and project trackers we were talking about, the source lists, tools like Slack for chatting, Zoom for meetings, Trello for keeping projects organized, and Google Workspace for docs and stuff.
Yeah, the common ones. And the key point here isn't just knowing of them, but being proficient. Being comfortable using these tools isn't just a nice extra anymore. It's often a basic expectation.
Right.
It shows employers or clients you can just slot right into a distributed team, that you can communicate and collaborate effectively without being in the same room. It makes you more valuable, more ready to go from day one.
Okay, so you've got your direction, your online look, you know the tools. What about the day-to-day grind? That takes us to step 5, which feels like it's all about the self-discipline side of remote work.
Yes, exactly. Set a solid routine and manage your time.
Yeah.
The guide fully acknowledges the amazing flexibility that comes with remote work.
The big appeal.
Right. But it immediately follows up by saying you absolutely need self-discipline to make that flexibility actually work for you, not against you.
And they give some practical advice there, don't they? Like setting clear working hours, which sounds a bit odd next to flexibility, but actually provides structure.
Mm-hmm. And creating a dedicated workspace, even if it's just a specific corner. And crucially, establishing a daily routine that works for you.
Because, as the source points out, that freedom is great, but without managing your time and having some structure.
Well, it's super easy to get distracted, isn't it? Productivity can just tank.
Totally. You have to be the one to impose that structure. It doesn't just happen.
It's that paradox of freedom, I guess. You get the control, but you also get the responsibility to manage it. Okay, so we've covered all the prep, setting up the environment. What's the final step, according to this guide?
Step 6. And this feels like a really important dose of both reality and encouragement. Start small, build confidence, and grow.
That feels key because I think a lot of people might feel pressure to land, like the perfect full-time remote job straight out of the gate. But this guide suggests maybe not.
Yeah, it strongly advises starting smaller. Think small projects, freelance gigs, maybe even part-time remote roles first.
Why? What's the benefit of starting small? It's strategic. It's not just about being busy. It's about gaining actual real-world remote experience, building up a portfolio piece by piece, and maybe most importantly, building your confidence that you can actually do this effectively in a remote setup.
And how does that smaller start then lead to bigger opportunities?
Well, the guide explains that as you successfully finish these smaller things, you collect proof testimonials, completed projects, you refine your skills in a low-stakes way, you expand your network, you build a tangible track record.
Oh, okay.
And that portfolio, that proof you can deliver reliably, is what then allows you to gradually move towards securing those bigger, higher-paying, more long-term remote jobs or larger client contracts that the source mentions. It's all about building momentum.
So if we pull back and look at the overall message from the guide's final thoughts, what's the main takeaway?
The guide really makes it clear. Building a successful remote career, especially from scratch, isn't something that happens overnight. It specifically says it takes time, it takes consistent effort.
No magic wand.
No magic wand. But the absolute core message is optimistic. It says that with the right strategy, like following these steps, and crucially, with a persistent mindset, it's totally achievable. You just have to keep at it.
It definitely sounds like a marathon, not a quick sprint, but at least this guide offers a kind of roadmap. We've gone from that initial self-check on skills and interests to researching where the opportunities are, building your digital presence, getting the hang of the tools, nailing down your personal work habits, and then finally, that advice to start small and build up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking about that idea, the source kept mentioning building the career you've dreamed of on your terms. If you connect that back to the final step, starting small.
Yeah.
Well, that initial phase, taking on maybe smaller projects, things that aren't quite the dream job yet.
Yeah.
It might feel like a compromise, right? Like it's far from the big vision.
It could, yeah.
But isn't that potentially challenging phase, the one where you're just starting, building momentum bit by bit? Doesn't that perfectly capture the persistence the guide says is so necessary? Isn't that the grit you need to eventually get to that place where your career truly is on your terms? It's like the hard yards required to earn that freedom.